Hey, I want to welcome everybody to Generosity Sunday. Yeah, that is much better. Hey, one of the things I love about Gateway Church is there are so many of us that have caught the bug for generosity. We just love to give. It's better than getting. We get so excited about generosity and giving. It's kind of like this this clip here. Isn't that great? Yeah, welcome to Generosity Sunday. Yes, yes, yes. So great. Well, many of us have been in the practice, and so many of you are generous. You're irrationally, consistently generous, and you know the power of Jesus' statement when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And like I said, this is our first ever Generosity Sunday, and I'm excited because not only will this be the single largest offering that Gateway Church has ever received that we have on record, but the other part of it is that we're giving every single penny of it away to those that need it most. And so we're so excited about that. I'm glad to be joining with you, partnering with you, and making a huge kingdom impact today. I want to introduce to you our first giving initiative, and it doesn't need any introduction because we've all experienced it over the last couple of weeks and months. It's the fires and all of those that have been devastated and lost so much through that. And so we want to, together as a church, partner with our resources and to provide all that we can to those that have lost, those that have been affected deeply. And the way that we're doing that is very simple. It's through relationship. That's those of our family members in the church that have been affected. That's those of your friends that you know that have been affected. And that's those through our partnerships in the community that have been affected. And it's really simple. We're trying to get in contact with as many people that need help so that we can resource them and bless them in as many ways possible. And part of that is going to happen because of your generosity today. The second way, the second initiative is church planting in the country of Turkey. We want to show you a video we showed a couple of weeks ago, but just gives a snapshot of the ministry in Turkey.
There are 70 million people in Turkey and about 4,500 Turkish Christians. Any neighborhood of Los Angeles has more Christians than in all of Turkey, which is about the size of Texas. Turkey is the center of New Testament Christianity. It's where Christianity grew up in the New Testament. Antioch, where Christians were first called Christians, the seven churches of Revelation, the books of Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians were all written to churches in Turkey. But all of that history from the first century grew up in a place which became a majority Muslim nation.
This is my country, my people, and it's one of the darkest nations on the earth. Christianity is a foreign religion for Turks. And till 1960s, no one preached the gospel to Turks. No one came here and preached the gospel. There were missionaries in Turkey, but they preached the gospel to Armenians or Greek people.
If a Turkish person comes to church and becomes a Christian, their neighbors will see them as having betrayed their Turkish ethnicity. Because to be Turkish is to be Muslim. And what does it mean to be a Turkish Christian? That's a question that the Turkish church has to continue to wrestle with.
Foursquare Turkey has, right now, it's small. There's about six Foursquare churches in Turkey. There's one in the capital in Ankara, there's three in the east, and there is two here in Istanbul. Now, they're all quite small, but Foursquare as a denomination is one of the largest denominations here in Turkey as far as churches go.
Right now, there is a sense of the Turkish church as an embattled minority, barely hanging on to existence. And this isn't very unlike the situation of the church in Antioch in the first century. The church that sent Paul and Barnabas was an embattled minority in an empire that was very, very hostile to them. And they were convinced that they could change the world. And they did. This is the situation of the Turkish church. 4,500 Christians in a country of 70 million. And the church has a responsibility to change the world. We need people. And so that means that our churches need to send, and they need to send the best. And if you've got somebody in your congregation that you can't live without, that's the kind of person you need to send. And that's the kind of person that Turkey needs.
Foursquare started to send workers a few years ago. Now, we were able to start a church. Zeki and Laura Balaban, they started a church in Istanbul. If we had more Zeks and Lauras, we could start new churches. If I could have five new missionary couples today, I could start five new churches.
Turkey is in the Menakaure region, which stands for Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia. It's a gigantic region. It's got 27 countries. And Foursquare has five units right now in this region. We've got to see more. This is not going to cut it if we want to complete the task that is before us.
There are no workers to go to hundreds and thousands of villages. There is no church in Kars, a city, 120,000 people in the far northeast, same size as Nineveh in the days of Jonah. There's nobody to go there.
I tell you, I see our region as Africa 100 years ago. It was called the Dark Continent. But within 100 years, we're seeing around 450 million people that have come to Christ in Africa. And I really believe that this is the century for the Muslims of this region. That we're going to see in this century, literally millions of people come to Christ. But if that's going to happen, we have got to see more workers in this region.
We love being a part of it. We're wrapping up a series called Simple today, and we're talking every week about making room for what matters most. We've talked about making room for love in our relationships. We've talked about peace in our hearts, hope in our lives. Today we get to talk about the power of joy. And the quote that we've been using over the last couple of weeks is one that comes from Dallas Willard, who is a philosopher, a professor at USC, and a great Christian thinker. He said this, that simplicity is the arrangement of life around a few consistent purposes, explicitly excluding what is not necessary to human well-being. Now think about that, how that would change our lives if we, as the people of God, arranged our life around a few consistent purposes that God has for us to give our lives to, where we explicitly excluded the things that robbed us of our hope and love and joy and peace, how that would change how we lived our lives. So often, though, the problem is that for many of us, we aren't living our lives around a few consistent purposes, nor are we excluding things that aren't necessary for human well-being. We live in a culture that's driven by accumulating more and more and adding more and more things to our lives that just aren't necessary. We hear this messages constantly from every direction that, you know, if you don't have this, then you're not going to fit in. Or if you don't have this, then you're not going to be secure. Or if you don't buy this, then you're missing out. And all of these messages fill us with this constant state of insecurity or dissatisfaction or anxiety. And this idea that if I don't have this, I won't be enough. Or if I don't have this, I won't be happy. In fact, I found this interesting. It was in a book called Richistan, written by a Wall Street journalist, and he said this. He quoted a study in it where they interviewed some of the most wealthy people in the country, and they just asked this question: how much money do you need to feel secure? And so they asked this question to those that were worth about $1 million, and they said, you know, if we had double what we had now, if we had $2 million, we would feel secure. They asked this question to those that were worth $10 million, and they said, you know, if we had double what we had, we would feel secure. And then they asked those that were worth $100 million, and they said, if we had double, then we would feel secure. And all throughout the study, he found out that as he interviewed people, that despite all the stuff that they'd accumulated, all that they had had, many of them were plagued with this anxiety and fear that they just didn't have enough. But here's what I've found, and what we see in Scripture is that this idea and this thinking that I've got to gather more and more, that it always leads to anxiety and fear. If you're taking notes, you can write that in. Gathering more leads to anxiety and fear, but giving more leads to joy. So we're trying to buy our way to peace, or we're trying to buy our way to joy, and it doesn't work that way. We just end up kind of going through the motions and creating more anxiety and more fears and more insecurities. But when we take a posture of generosity, when we choose to give to those whom God has called us to give, when when we give to things like alleviating the suffering of our neighbors, or when we give to setting slaves free around the world, when we give to preaching the gospel in areas that don't need that need it so desperately, it's like this massive burden is lifted, that we're given something else in exchange. And it's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He says this in Matthew 6, verse 19. He says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal." What's he saying? He's saying all that stuff that we spend our lives accumulating, it's not legacy stuff. You can't hold on to it. It doesn't last. And it doesn't add value to our lives. In fact, it's robbing us so oftentimes. It's storing up for ourselves often robs ourselves of what we really need. And that's this. Jesus continues in verse 20. He says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Listen to this. He says, "But store up yourselves for yourselves treasures" where? In heaven. It's important to understand that this idea of heaven is not a unique Christian concept. This comes from Judaism. That when Jesus is talking here, he's talking to his fellow Jews, and he's sharing a concept with them that heaven is not a place that you just go to when you die. Heaven is everywhere that God is. And if God is on earth, and that's where heaven, it's a now and not yet principle. And so heaven is here now where God is. In other words, Jesus is saying, use your money where God is right now. Partner with him now in doing what he's doing now. And when you do, the idea is that treasure isn't just something that you'll receive when you die. It's something that he wants to give you right now. You experience God's treasure right now. And so he's saying, use whatever you have to further my mission. Use what you have to build a legacy. And then he concludes with this soul-simplifying reason. Verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This whole text that Jesus, this whole sermon is all about priorities. It's about aligning our lives with a few consistent priorities, and that's namely God. That our number one priority in life, in our time, and with our money, with our energy, with our gifts, with all that God has given us, is asking God, what do you want me to use with what you've given me? With my time and how I prepare my calendar and what I have with my money and my budget and how I think, God, what do you want me to use with all that you've given me? What do you want? See, when we're generous to further God's mission, our hearts become attached not to the newest thing, but to the things that really matter. If you're taking notes, write this in. A generosity frees us from always wanting more and frees us to experience the joy of seeing God do more. Frees us from always wanting more and needing more and having to have the newest thing, and frees us to experience the joy of seeing what God wants to do through us. There's just the clutter of anxiety and fear and worry is washed from our souls when we align our lives with God's purposes. Instead, we're filled with his commitment, his contentment, his faith, his purpose, and his joy. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to unclutter your soul in this season? And start by living for a better legacy. And today provides an awesome opportunity for us to do just that through Generosity Sunday. I want to share one more way that we're building a legacy together. And we've been talking for weeks about our partnership with the largest anti-slavery organization in the world, International Justice Mission. And we've been talking about funding raids on brothels to set free women and little children. We're talking about my youngest son, Bear, is 6 years old. We're talking about kids that age that are caught into the sex slave industry and all that's going on. But because of the graphic nature of the videos, we wanted to show you a different angle of what International Justice Mission does. There are approximately 30 million slaves in the world today. This is the story of one of them.
I'm 5 years old. I follow grandfather to the farm. and watch what he's doing. I am 9 years old. I never want to leave this place. I always help my grandfather in the market. When I left home with my uncle, I didn't see my grandparents anymore. The first time I went on the lake, I wanted to escape, but I didn't know the way. Me, my grandfather came for me, but he could not find me. My uncle said, "You forget about your grandfather." And he said, "Those are the people who come for small boys." So when they come, I should jump into the water and swim away.
Just in case you weren't able to read some of that, there are thousands of little kids on Lake Volta in Ghana. And what IJM does is they come alongside of local law enforcement who would not provide justice otherwise, and they provide the accountability to make sure that they do what they're supposed to be doing. And that last clip was of the actual Foley, and he was on the lake for 2 years before he was rescued. This is the why behind the generosity that God gives so that we can give to other people. And there's just this incredible beauty and power to generosity that when we join together and give, it makes a tremendous impact. There's a promise that's in Scripture that so often we apply to our lives, and I want to read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, that at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Read that one more time, just so that we capture it. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." What we need to understand is that the only context in which we can apply this to our lives is through radical generosity. That this promise does not apply just to believers in general. This is applied to when the church gets crazy about the mission of God and says, I'm going to give to this. I'm going to give to church planting. I'm going to give to see slaves rescued. And so as 2018 draws to a close, we have an opportunity to make an impact in our community and around the world. And the invitation is for us to go all in, that we would build a legacy together. So how do we give? You can give with check or with cash today. You can give using the Venmo smartphone app. And you can give online. And I just want to let you know, again, our goal was to raise $50,000. And every single penny is going away. None of it goes to keeping the light bills on here. None of it goes to funding the ministries here at this church. All of it is going out to the three initiatives that we talked about today. And I want to let you know that the pastors on staff here, every single one of us is giving our largest gift of the year, if not ever in our lifetime. And if you don't see us putting anything in the offering, it's because we either did it already or we did it online. And so we want to invite you to join with us in choosing what matters most. And so ushers, as you want to come forward, you can drop both your tithes and offerings in there, and you can drop your connection cards in there. And let's go all in together.